Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It might even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. You rock the mic so hard, we should ride in the tour. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. My name is Nick Capozzi. I will be hosting the podcast all season long with my sidekick sitting right next to me virtually, Mr. J.B. Gilpin. J.B., how are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good. Did you have a good Labor Day?
I did. Unfortunately, I'm a Michigan fan, so that part of football starting was pretty disturbing. But it was a good weekend.
Wait,
it was good
JB,
to have a day
JB,
off.
JB. You're from Carolina, and you're a Michigan fan?
My dad went to Michigan before moving to Carolina. So, and besides, I mean, it's not like I can cheer for Chapel Hill's football team, or else, you know, I would have gotten through college without actually doing any studying. So,
well, listen, you could have watched Greg Little and Hakeem Nicks. There's some good UNC products.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll tell you one thing. This guy TJ Yeldon, freshman on Alabama, he's a future stud at running back. He's going to be a top 10 fantasy player once he hits the pros in a year or two.
Whoa.
We're
gonna have to have you on our football prospect show.
Yeah, man, this guy, that guy ran all over us. It was tough.
All right. Well, listen. In case you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first of our regular season editions. We're going to be with you all 17 weeks. Is it 17 weeks? Definitely 16. We're definitely here for 16 and possibly 17. I think we're doing a wrap up show at the end.
Hey, we might have a bye week 1 week, you know, when we're not feeling like showing up.
Yeah, fair enough. So, but we will record this podcast every Tuesday. It's posted at razzball.com every Wednesday. Now, just a couple quick notes before we get going. If you haven't had your draft yet, all your cheat sheets and tiers are available at razzball.com/football. Also, JB, we've actually got our writers draft tonight. So all the fantasy football writers from Razzball.com, as well as myself, will be doing a draft tonight. We'll probably bring up the league a couple times, and you can follow it. But I'm going to smoke you guys. And the reason I'm going to smoke you, JB, is because I've been using the Cheat Sheet Wizard. And if you haven't seen it, check it out at CheatSheetWizard.com. Say that three times fast. And basically, what it does is, we talked about it last week on the podcast, it's a phenomenal tool that basically auto-runs your draft for you. It can sync with your actual live drafts. And Rudy had a question last week, and it was whether or not you could actually import your existing sheets. You can. And CheatSheetWizard.com also told me that they'll be doing a baseball edition next year. So lots to check out. But if you haven't yet done your football draft, you definitely want to check out CheatSheetWizard.com. JB, we got a lot of football to get to today. It is the first week. Can you smell it? Can you smell the leather and lace?
I can. I can also smell Tony Romo not making the playoffs and working on his golf swing again. But, you know, it's a good week one matchup to start on Wednesday.
All right, and let's get right to it with our first matchup of the week. That will be the Wednesday night game, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. Let's talk about a couple quick players from this game, JB. Let's start off with Dez Bryant. I was a big Dez Bryant supporter the last couple of years. I haven't touched him in any of my drafts this year. I'm a little bit cautious. What say you?
I'm cautious as well. I traded for him last year in my keeper league, and I didn't even have him in one of my top five keepers. You know, and that's about where he's going to go anyway. If you have a pretty good roster, you know, You would hope he'd fall to round four or five before you're going to take him this year. But a lot of people are reaching for him. They rave about his physical ability. He's just a big football player, but he's just never healthy, never consistent. Jerry Jones says he's 100%, but he's not going to return all the punts. And that's a big part of his game, at least what we've seen when he's been able to be healthy. So
okay,
I like Miles Austin more this week.
Well, actually, that's what I was going to ask you. You'd rather have Austin than Dez Bryant this week?
I would. I think Austin's got a little bit more rapport with Romo. He's been healthy a little bit longer, although health is a big issue for him as well. I think you're starting both of them without losing any sleep over it, but I like Austin more this week.
Okay, and Jason Witten, I know he's been dealing with the spleen issue. He's close to coming back. You got any updates for us?
He's doubtful. I don't see him playing this week. Anytime someone has an internal organ injury, I don't, and you hear laceration on top of that. He's a tough dude. He played with a broken jaw, but I don't see him playing this week. And even if he does, he's only going to be out there on a handful of plays. So I don't think you can start him in any league.
Okay. And speaking of injuries, the New York Giants secondary is a trauma unit right now. So it probably is a good play to go with your Cowboy receivers. Let's talk about a couple guys on the Giants side. What do you think about Ahmad Bradshaw? But I'm more curious, give me what you think about Bradshaw, but also the dynamic with David Wilson.
Well, I think week one's going to be a lot of Bradshaw leading the way. He knows the offense. He's seen the Cowboys a lot of times. I do think Wilson's going to get in there. I don't think they're going to want to overload Wilson too much or try to give away a lot of what I have a feeling the Giants are going to hopefully use him as kind of the second half back, you know, for, you know, both the second half of games and the second half of the season. So I don't see them rushing him out there too quick. You know, I saw David Wilson a couple of times at VTech. I don't think he's going to be a star like a lot of people are saying. A lot of people are raving about him with his preseason stats. And, you know, I think he's just going to be a good change of pace back this year. I don't see him cutting in too much. If anything, it's going to help Bradshaw stay healthy. So I think Bradshaw's a good play. I wouldn't want to put Wilson in any league. I want to see what happens.
The only argument I'll have for that, and we'll try and move off this game and keep the games tight, but I think it's interesting to note that the only running back on the roster of any caliber aside from Bradshaw is David Wilson. And with Bradshaw's history, especially of ankle and foot injuries, I could see Wilson getting a lot of burn. All right, but we will definitely see how that plays out tomorrow night. We're very excited for kickoff, and it's a great game to start the season off. Next game on the docket is the Atlanta Falcons at Kansas City Chiefs. Excuse me, that is Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. A couple things I'm curious about in this one. One is, what kind of role is Jaquizz Rodgers actually going to play this year?
Well, you know, he's the name of probably the funniest team name I've seen this year, Jaquizz in My Pants. That's always a good one. Although it would be Jaquizz in My Cup, I guess, technically. Anyway, I think he's going to have a pretty interesting role, especially in week one where I see Atlanta blowing out the Chiefs. Atlanta was I watched the game where they opened against the Bears last year, and they came out looking terrible. And they were still a good team. So I see the Falcons hitting on all cylinders. I see them having a big lead and not wanting to tax Michael Turner too much. I think Rodgers could get 10 carries and 4-ish catches and be a pretty useful play in PPR leagues.
Okay. I'm going to argue with you. I actually think the Chiefs might be one of the big surprise teams this year. So I think they'll actually play tough, especially at Arrowhead. And I will definitely be starting in a couple leagues where I have Peyton Hillis. He will find his way either as an RB2 or as a flex option for myself. Just curious what you think the dynamic between Hillis and Jamaal Charles might look like this year.
Well, this year, I think Jamaal Charles, I mean, obviously, I'm not his knee, so I don't know for sure, but I think he's going to get stronger as the year goes on, and they're always going to limit his touches no matter what. Even if he's averaging 15 yards a carry a game, he's not going to rush the ball 25 times. So I think Hillis is a good play, and I think he's going to be a good play all year. Since I do think this is going to be a little bit of blowout, I know it's Arrowhead, and I know the Chiefs are a pretty strong team, or stronger than a lot of people would expect. I do think that Hillis, you know, he can still catch the balls. He's, you know, an every down back, and I don't think they're going to want Charles to get too many carries too early. I think he is a good play. I think you have to start both of them this week.
Okay, that's interesting. And just so you know, too, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first of our weekly shows. What we're trying to do here is touch on some games and some possible start sits or interesting matchups that you may have overlooked yourself. We're obviously not talking about the obvious starts like a Roddy White or a Julio Jones and that type of matchup. So just keep that in mind. Also, if you have any questions or if you want to throw something out to us, an idea, you can always reach us on Twitter. I am at Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi. And my man JB is at JB Gilpin, GILPIN. Next game on the docket, Eagles at Browns. I think Joe Hayden, correct me if I'm wrong, but is he not suspended, JB?
He's not suspended yet. He's awaiting judgment and through the appeals and the appeals process. Took Adderall. So, you know, maybe he, you know, went out a couple of nights too early. He's trying to relearn all the schemes. I had to study up, you know, you never know. But it's looking like he might miss this game, or at least it's going to be a big distraction. And also, I don't think the Browns are going to be number one against the pass against this year. I think that was flukish. That had to do with, you know, big upset games. So I think Deshaun Jackson, who you know I love this year, and Jeremy Maclin are both going to have big games in this first week matchup.
Yeah, listen, I can't argue with that. I need to see something from Cleveland before I get too excited about anything. I think they're relying too much on youth this year. Trent Richardson is still a question mark. I have him in a couple leagues. I'm not going to touch him. I think Mike Holmgren quoted, correct me if I'm wrong, the worst thing we could do is rush him before he's ready. I'm not starting him. Is there any way you could see yourself starting Trent Richardson this week?
Well, first of all, he ended up on none of my teams. So, but if I did have him for some reason, there's virtually no way I'd start him unless I drafted all my other skills position and Richardson is my flex. But even then, I wouldn't want to touch him this week. Even if he's active, I don't think he's going to get a ton of touches. I think this is going to be a blowout. No reason to have your, you know, gimpy, you know, elite running back out there that you're hoping you're running back for the next 7 years, you know, out and blow out his knee and ruin his career. So I don't think he's a start at all.
All right. And if you are scouting, I would keep an eye on Josh Gordon, the wide receiver supplemental pick that Cleveland gave up a second round pick for. Apparently he's looked really good in camp. So he's available on a lot of waiver wires. So keep an eye out for him if you do get a chance to catch that game. Next on the docket is the Washington Redskins at the New Orleans Saints. Lots of lines here. One is, of course, RG Mania. Two is what I think will be a very charged up and pumped up team playing in a very amped up stadium. What do you think about RG3 in his first game this season?
You know, I agree. I think the Saints have a lot to play for. A lot of people are finding their way in the starting lineup that wouldn't have otherwise, that have something to prove. I think the fans are going to be behind them to try to get this whole bounty gate, out of their minds. You know, I'm a Panthers fan, and the Saints' first game after Katrina was at home against the Panthers, and you had to turn the TV to half mute to even be able to pay attention to the game. It's going to be a crazy, crazy stadium. The Saints are going to blitz nonstop. I don't want RG3 I don't want anyone from the Redskins' offense this week.
Yeah, why would you?
If you drafted bad, I don't know. Pierre Garçon, he's someone that's a lot of people's wide receiver 3. I wouldn't want to play him this week. I'd play someone more like, you know, I'd play Anquan Boldin or someone like that over him this week.
All right, let me ask you this. Who would you rather start as a flex this week, Pierre Garçon or Mark Ingram?
Ingram. You know, as much as that pains me to say, because I really don't like Ingram, I think he's going to get a good amount of work in this game. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a pretty lopsided affair. I think Ingram finds the end zone this week.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you, I tend to agree with a lot of your fantasy analysis, but in terms of pure football analysis, I think we're going to have a few head-to-heads this year.
Do you see this game being closer?
You know what? You know what I think? I think that there is definitely a huge home field advantage, and that's why, you know, not that I'm a betting man, but I wouldn't put a nickel on the game. That being said, I think the Redskins' defense is underrated, and I think that I think it's going to be interesting watching RG3's first game, especially with the suspensions and injuries that the Saints defense has. I think it might be closer than people think. But Like I said, I'm not a gambling man.
Yeah, I think the Saints' weapons are all going to go off this game. I think Sproles a big game, Graham a big game, Colston, Henderson might even have a pretty nice game. Breeze, of course. I think they're going to hit on all cylinders.
All right, interesting. Next game on the docket is St. Louis with their brand new head coach, Gray Albright. Oh, sorry, Jeff Fisher, the mustache threw me off.
Yeah, that'll happen.
The new look. Fully stocked via draft, although they'll probably still win one game all year. St. Louis Rams at the Detroit Lions. I know you're down on Stafford this year. What are we looking for in this game?
I could really see this game being something like a 26-10 kind of game where the Lions they score early and it's just kind of a slow, a lot of field goals. You know, I know the Lions are a hot offense. Everyone loves Stafford. He's going in freaking first round in a ton of drafts. I just don't understand why Matthew Stafford is just everyone's going crazy for him this year. I think he'd be a good third or fourth round pick and will reap that kind of benefit. But if you reach that high, I think you're going to be disappointed. So I think the Lions win easily. I don't think Stafford has too big of a game here. I do love Kevin Smith, though. All you got to do is just keep your fingers crossed and your jockstrap tight and hope he doesn't get hurt or something like that. I don't know. Whatever kind of method you have to stave off jinxes, just hope he doesn't get hurt and he'll have a big game.
I'll tell you, too, if you've got an extra roster spot and Mikel Ashore is available in your league, I definitely snap him up for two reasons. One is obviously Kevin Smith's injury history. But second, the fact that LeSure is going to miss two games, but we haven't seen him yet. So if he's the 15th guy on your team and he doesn't pan out, that's fine. But if he becomes, you know, a back in the red zone for the Lions with that offense, that could be 8, 10, 12 touchdowns out of him possibly. So he is available in a ton of leagues. One thing to consider. Anyone else worth scouting in this game?
You know, in a really, really super deep, 18, 20 league, I don't know if anyone plays NFC only anymore or anything like that, but I like Keelan Williams this week. Smith's backup. Like I said, I see Detroit getting a lead and supporting that lead pretty comfortably. So I could see him getting, 12 to 13 touches this game. A fun quote that I saw him say the other day. He said, you definitely don't want anything bad to happen to anyone. It doesn't matter if you're competing with them or not. But at the same time, that brings opportunities for other people. So he's pretty much saying, if Kevin Smith gets hurt, I'm ready to go. So, he's an interesting play. Like you said, stacking Mikel Ashore at the back end of your lineup. I would stack Keelan Williams there as well. You never know. People can get hurt, and he looks like he knows that. So he might be an interesting play.
All right. Sounds good. Next up is the New England Patriots at the Tennessee Titans. The Patriots, I'm just going to throw out, start everybody. You disagree with any of that?
Not at all. The one question mark is Stephen Ridley, but I still think he's going to be a good play this week with Vereen hurt. So, you never want to start Patriots running back with the years upon years. I think it's been since, Corey Dillon, they've had a consistent top running back. So, but I would start them all. Ridley, I think, is a good start, and obviously all the other weapons. I think New England's hoping that they're playing in a winter storm like that 59-0 game a couple of years ago.
All right, what about on offense for the Tennessee Titans? Who are you starting this week? Obviously not Kenny Britt because he did get the one game suspension, but other than Mr. Britt, who do you like this week for the Titans?
Nate Washington's a real interesting play. He kind of crept up pretty quietly on rank boards before in entering drafts. Britt, he's one arrest away, one balky knee away from not playing again this year. So, I think Washington's going to have a big week. Jake Locker's going to have to throw the ball all game. I think he could put up a real interesting 7 catch for 80 yards, even if it's a huge blowout.
All right, another person that you definitely want to keep an eye out week one is rookie Kendall Wright. Now, rookie receivers obviously don't tend to have a huge impact their first year in the league, but Wright had a great preseason, showed great chemistry with Locker, and also the offensive coordinator for the Titans, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but basically he said Wright has all the capabilities to be a superstar in this league, not just very good, but a superstar. So keep an eye on Kendall Wright.
I agree with you. I think he'll be real interesting to watch, but I don't think he's going to be a start and you feel comfortable about it for at least the first few weeks.
All right, this is my punch 'em in the mouth game of the week. I think we're going to have actually a huge defensive battle between the Miami Dolphins and Houston Texans, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, Houston comes in as the favorite. Their defense is loaded. Their offense is outstanding. I think Miami is going to have a rough year. I think they might lose a lot of games, and it's only because of the skill position players on offense. But I think their defense actually might be pretty good and is underrated. And Coach Philbin brought some really interesting techniques into their preseason. So I'm curious to see how the Dolphins actually look this year. I don't think they're going to be good, but I think they might be in more games than people realize. The Dolphins, I might even throw that out as a sneaky defense. But anyway, let's get on to this game. I mean, obviously, I'm starting, even all that being said, I'm still going to start Arian Foster. But let me ask you this. Would you also possibly consider starting Ben Tate?
You know, I think I would. We saw a lot of both of them in the first team offenses in preseason. We've seen Tate have big games being the change of pace back. You know, you sound like you're high on the Dolphins defense. You know, when you're not scoring the ball all game and you're punting the ball 10 times, there's going to be a lot of plays for the Houston offense. So I think both are going to be big plays. I could see 13 to 14 touches for Tate and a touchdown.
Okay, fair enough. If you're looking for someone on Houston to scout, one player that you might want to consider is Devier Posey, the wide receiver, big play guy, big play potential. Someone eventually has to emerge in Houston. I mean, I know we've been saying that every year. There's a laundry list of wide receivers who could and should emerge for the Texans, but I think keeping an eye on Posey would be a great idea.
I actually like Keyshawn Martin a little bit more. He looked good in preseason. I know he didn't get too many touches, but I think he could be a real sneaky good slot receiver this year. So,
okay, interesting.
I like Martin more.
Fair enough. Now, what about Miami? Are you starting anybody against that defense?
Yeah, I think you have to start Reggie Bush for the price you had to get him. You know, he had a good year last year, really surprised a lot of people. I actually drafted him last year and dropped him after week two or three or so when it looked like Daniel Thomas was taking over the role. But then he came out and just went gangbusters in the second half. I think you have to start him this week. He's going to get a lot of checkdowns from Tannehill. But other than that, I don't want anyone else.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I've got nothing there, but I'm just curious, what's your take on Daniel Thomas and his role with the Dolphins this year going forward? Just because we haven't discussed it yet, and I know a lot of people tend to ask me about that. You know, will eventually he overtake Reggie Bush? What kind of running back will he be? Any comments on that?
You know, I actually have drafted him in a couple of leagues way at the end as just one of those last pick kind of guys. No one's really drafting him. He's shown some talent. It's going to be a big uphill climb for him, but we've seen Reggie Bush have inconsistencies and injuries throughout his career. You know, maybe he'll see Kim Kardashian in the stands and freak out one week. I don't know. But I think Daniel Thomas could really surprise some people in the second half. This, like you said earlier, this team's going nowhere. They don't have anyone at the skill positions. You know, maybe they'll see what they have in Thomas in the second half. I think he's worth stashing or at least worth keeping an eye on.
All right. Next up is the Buffalo Bills at New York Jets. Now, I live in Toronto, where we actually taped this podcast at the Glenmore Records studio. So I'm not really a fan of any particular football team. Obviously, I love fantasy, so I follow players, but I can sit down and watch a football game no matter who's playing. That's how much I love football. If I had to pick a team, I might say Buffalo, and it's not because I like the Bills, especially when you lose four Super Bowls in a row. It's because you got to respect Buffalo, and if you've ever had wings at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo and watched the Bills game or sat in the rock pile down at Ralph Wilson Stadium, it's good times. So it looks like Buffalo is finally turning around. I know you've got some comments to make on this game, but I just want to say one thing that's really interesting to me. I actually tried to get the Buffalo Bills defense in a lot of leagues this year. Obviously, because the front four is heavily improved. The secondary is improved. Rookie Stephen Gilmore was the 10th overall pick in the draft, I believe, and had a great training camp. But listen to this. This is their schedule from week 11 on, which is when you're trying to either get into the playoffs or win in the playoffs. Week 11, they're playing Miami. Week 12, they're at Indianapolis. Week 13, they've got Jacksonville. Week 14, they've got St. Louis. Week 15, they've got Seattle. And week 16, they're at Miami. That could be a really good defense for your fantasy football playoffs.
You know, I agree with you. However, I look at defenses much more short-sighted. And you want to know what defense I've gotten in virtually every league this year?
Tell me.
The Lions defense playing St. Louis in week one. I look at the first week and then I stream defenses the rest of the way. I mean, sure, I'll look ahead some of the time, but for me, defenses are all about what they can bring that week. That's a really interesting point that they're playing so many good teams right there at the end. But I mean, I definitely don't see any scenario in which Miami's any good, but I could see Andrew Luck being a really efficient quarterback and their offense not giving up too many points to the defense. Same with Russell Wilson in Seattle, which we'll get to, but you know, that's an interesting point. I like to look at week by week, though. That's just me.
See, you know what? I'm always scheming for the playoffs because I know I'm probably going to make the playoffs.
With my okay. Maybe it's that like early season confidence I lack. I don't know.
Now, listen, I don't even want to talk about the Jets offense. So let me talk about the Jets defense. I actually think, and I know I'm defense heavy right now, but I think defense and kickers are often overlooked. I definitely learned that when I was reading Fantasy Football for Winners by BJ Riddell. So I like the Jets defense. I think especially too because the offense is going to have so many question marks. I could see the unit gelling together. I mentioned that a couple times. I wouldn't start anyone on offense against Buffalo. And I think personally, I might start Fred Jackson for Buffalo. And if I'm in a deep league, probably Fitzpatrick and of course Stevie Johnson. But I'm not anticipating a lot of fantasy fireworks on the offensive side of the ball in that game.
You know, I was going to say the same thing. I think this is the biggest fantasy black hole for offensive players this week. I think you have to play Fred Jackson, but other than that, you know, maybe you probably have to play Stevie Johnson too for where you drafted him. But other than that, I don't think you want anyone in this game.
All right, sounds good. Next up on the docket is Jacksonville at Minnesota. That's a 1 o'clock game, even though it's being played in Minneapolis. Couple interesting headlines from that game. Obviously, Maurice Jones-Drew has ended his was a holdout. So, Mr. Gilpin, what is your assessment of the Maurice Jones-Drew, Rashawn Jennings backfield situation this week?
You know, MJD, it's just too eerily similar to CJ2K, who ended up being barely even CJ1K last year. I know they're completely different backs. I respect MJD as a character a little bit more, but I would be really scared to play him or even his backup Rashad Jennings this week. I might actually play Jennings over MJD just for this week one matchup. I wouldn't feel great about it, obviously. Obviously, MJD's been in that backfield for years upon years, but I don't see them putting MJD and giving him 25 touches this first week.
No, I don't think so either. I think, in fact, it might be nothing but Rashard Jennings with just a couple carries, if any, to MJD. Especially, too, Minnesota still has, the defense is in transition and the secondary is atrocious, but they do have a pretty darn good front four, and Minnesota is a tough place to play. I think it'll be interesting to watch Blaine Gabbert, and I don't know how much of an advancement he's going to make in his second year, but he can't be as bad as he was year one. Plus, he's got Mike Mularkey, who has a track record as an offensive mind working with quarterbacks. So I'm curious to actually watch Gabbert. I'd like to see what Blackman can do, and I'd like to see if there's any chance. Mercedes Lewis is not even being drafted this year. I'm curious to see if there's any chance that he might recoup some of his former fantasy football credibility. What about on the Minnesota side of the ball? What do you think? Are we going to see Mr. Peterson this week?
I'm leaning towards that we're not, but I think he might be active and not play. Either way, there's no way you can be starting him this week. And I like Toby Gerhardt to have a really big role. They limited him in preseason with the first team in week three to rest up for the season. They want him to have a big week one game. You know, Jacksonville's not exactly a well-rounded defense or has a good offense. I think Gerhardt's going to have a big game, get about 25 touches, you know, maybe 20 carries, 5 catches. I think he's going to have a big week one.
And what about my man Percy Harvin?
I think he's a good play this week. He's one of those guys that is just so inconsistent and yet has so much potential that for some reason he just never ends up on my team. And I know he's a great player, and I know that he can bring huge, huge games to your fantasy line. But I've never been able to draft him. That said, I think he's going to have a great week one here.
I'll throw this out. I could see a scenario where Percy Harvin is actually a top three wide receiver in fantasy football at the end of this season. I think as high as he's being drafted, which is still the sixth or seventh round, I think that Percy Harvin could truly, truly break out this year.
I don't see top three. I think he's going to have some sort of injuries. Migraine issues might pop up again. He's already shown that he's unhappy with the team. I don't see that happening. But that's just me. You know, hey, I love DeSean Jackson. What the hell do I know? You know,
so. See, I'm Canadian, so I'm not afraid to call my shot.
Okay. All right. I see what you're doing. Well, hey, at least I can not call your shot or something like that.
All right. Last of the early games for week one. It is the Indianapolis Colts at Chicago Bears. A lot to look at there. This is going to be, I think it's going to be a great season. Every season is great, but I think it's going to be a really interesting football season. There's a lot of great storylines. I'm so curious to see how Brandon Marshall reunited with Jay Cutler looks. And I'm really excited to see if Andrew Luck can carry over the surgeon-like precision he had in the preseason.
You know, I completely agree with you. It's funny you said that because we didn't even talk about this, but this is probably the most interesting game to me. We get to see Forte back. I think he's in for a big year. Obviously, you said the Cutler-Marshall connection. Marshall, I could see being a top three receiver. But yeah, I want to see how Andrew Luck looks as well. I'm not sure everyone does. I think if RG3 wasn't around, Andrew Luck would just, everyone would be going crazy for him. And I think that's going to help him a little bit, that there's not all this rookie pressure on him. So, man, it seems ages ago that this was a Super Bowl matchup, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Until you brought that up, I completely forgot about that Super Bowl, which I think was 2008.
Yeah. Rex Grossman. Oh, jeez.
What about Donald Brown? What do you think he's going to do for the Indianapolis Colts this year?
I think he's one of the most underrated draft picks this year. I think he's going to have a lot of catches out of the backfield. I think he's going to have a lot more touches than people expect. I expect Indianapolis to be in a lot more games than people expect. So I think he's going to be a real interesting player. I think they want him to have the ball. It definitely helps your confidence when you get that little screen pass on your first play that he had in the preseason that was like a 70-yard catch for a touchdown. So I think he's going to have a pretty big game here. Not crazy. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 running back or anything like that. But, you know, 70 yards on the ground, 30 through the air, and maybe a touchdown. Pretty interesting, good player this week.
All right. Sounds good. Next game is the first of the 4:25 starts, and the NFL has pushed back the start times by an extra 10 minutes this year so that you can catch up on all the fantastic early game ends. So we have
10 more minutes of NFL Red Zone, right?
Oh my gosh. On my drive to the studio today, I called and ordered Red Zone. That is
nice.
That is always a happy day for me. So we have the Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jay Stu's banged up. Everybody's talking about D Will against that rush defense this week. Do you concur?
I completely do. I said earlier in our first podcast that I love D'Angelo Williams this year. I think he was great value. I thought it was crazy that he was going the same about range as Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan Stewart's going ahead of him in a bunch of drafts as well. I love him this week. We really pounded. Oh, I say we. I'm a Panthers fan. I am from Carolina. I do make sense with that homer pick right there. But I think we're going to pound on the Buccaneers this game. A lot of people think Josh Freeman's going to bounce back this year, and I think he will to some level, but I don't think the Buccaneers are going to have a very good year. I think this is a big game for Cam Newton, a big game for the Panthers.
All right, moving on. The game that I might be most excited to see, because I want to see Doug Flutie 2.0, Mr. Russell Wilson, and the Seattle Seahawks versus the Arizona Cardinals. I have to tell you a quick story. In a dynasty league that I'm in, you get $100 fab at the beginning of every season. Now, in this particular team, I have nothing but young, high upside players. So I didn't have a lot of roster room. So I put $70 to win the bid on Russell Wilson. A couple guys in the league thought I was nuts. A couple guys thought I was really smart. The way I figured it is, if he's half of what he could be, that $70 will be a bargain. Plus, when we had Mr. Sean Salisbury on the show last week, he couldn't stop talking about Russell Wilson's upside. So, JB, you tell me, what's Russell Wilson's upside?
It's pretty freaking high. I love Russell Wilson. I'm right there with you. I drafted him in my Dynasty League as well. I'm starting him this week over Ryan Fitzpatrick as my quarterback, too, and I have no ill will, no bad thoughts about that at all. I think he's going to tear it up, especially against a pretty porous Arizona defense. I know they're a little bit improved, but I think he's going to have a big week. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I know he's right about hitting the potential that a lot of people are setting for him. I don't think he's going to be a top five quarterback this year or anything crazy, but I could see him actually outperforming the other rookie quarterbacks right now.
And so, I was just going to say, I want to throw this out too. This is Nick's call of the week. I should preface this by saying Arizona has a very good defense. They blitz from all different angles. But with Marshawn Lynch back spasms, we don't know how much we'll see him, if at all. Keep an eye on Robert Turbin. Again, it's a very good Arizona defense, but Turbin's probably sitting on your free agent wire. And I think Turbin's upside could be really, really high. Every year there's a running back or two from the third, fourth, fifth round who emerges. Last year was DeMarco Murray, also Roy Helu. I believe both were fourth rounders, if I'm not mistaken. So keep an eye on Robert Turbin. Just if you're in a 12, 14 team league, just there, I said it.
No, if I was in a 12 or 14 team league, he would be on my team. Lynch is just a head case to begin with, and now he's got back spasm injuries. I think he's a huge bust this year. I could see Turbin taking over the lead back feature role in this offense by the second half, and because I just think Russell Wilson's going to be a real capable quarterback, Turbin could have some really interesting games towards the second half. That said, even if Lynch is out, I'm not starting Turbin this week. I want to see what happens. I want to see if they try Leon Washington, the ghost of Leon Washington, but we'll see what happens.
All right, and just quickly, because we've got to start going a little bit quicker here, just give me Ryan Williams, Beanie Wells. What are you going to see out of them this week?
If I had to start one, it's Beanie Wells, but I don't want either one. I think Wells gets maybe 1.5 to every one carry for Ryan Williams, but I wouldn't want to start either one. I know Seattle's not a great defense, but I really don't like their running back situation.
All right. Possibly the biggest game of the week, or at least the most anticipated, is the San Francisco 49ers heading to Green Bay, Wisconsin to chomp on some deep-fried cheese curds. What do you think we're going to see out of, A, that San Francisco offense? Is there anything to look at there? And, B, give me one sleeper on that Green Bay team, because you know what you're going to get out of 90% of them.
Yeah, you know, I like Mario Manningham probably the best of all the receivers for this first week. He's kind of gone under – Yeah, he's, you know, a lot of people love Crabtree. He's just not been consistent, and don't tell me Randy Moss is going to have a big game. I think Manningham could have a real interesting, you know, 8 or 9 catch game here. All right. You don't agree with me on that one?
No.
No, there's my Michigan fandom coming back in.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't even think about that.
Who do you think's going to have the best week of the 49ers receivers?
None of them. End of story. Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis gets 27 catches and no receivers get a catch for the 49ers this week. He called it. Nick called it first.
Hey, let me ask you this. Okay, obviously Green Bay, there's obvious picks there, but who do you think is going to have a better season? Randall Cobb, who's probably going to play the slot, or Alex Green, the young running back? Who would you rather have this year?
Cedric Benson is coming in there. I definitely don't want to start him this first week. I want to see what kind of workload he gets. If I had to take one, it'd probably be – well, you know, if for PPR, I'd take Randall Cobb, and in non-PPR, I'd probably take Alex Green.
Interesting. All right, Sunday night game, Pittsburgh at Denver. Let's see what Mr. Manning can do against that Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, this is going to be a real interesting game. I wonder if Jerome Harrison's going to get a nice little concussion hit on Peyton Manning early on. That would certainly get some headlines. But I'm real interested to see what the Steelers offense is going to do with their backs. Isaac Redman, I think, got a little overlooked this year. He's not that great, and he's already banged up, but he's going to be more or less one of the more feature backs of any team this year to start the season. I don't think Mendenhall is going to be a big factor once he comes back. I think Redman could have a nice little game here, one of those like 60-yard, 2-touchdown games.
I'm not going to argue with you, but I will say this. If I had to pick between Redman and Dwyer, just with gut, I'm taking Dwyer.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting. You know, Dwyer's good. I do watch some ACC games, even though I'm a Michigan fan. I did see Dwyer play at G-Tech. He's a good back, but I think this is still Redmond's backfield for right now. You know, if Redmond does get hurt, I think Dwyer's going to be a real interesting pickup, one of those guys you can drop fab money on if you didn't spend it all on Russell Wilson.
All right, give me one word answer, one word only. Who would you rather have in this game, Decker or Demaryius Thomas?
Decker.
Okay. Monday Nighters.
That's going to be my answer every week, probably.
All right, fair enough. All right, you know what we're going to do, just because we really are tight on time for the last two games? I'm going to throw out a couple questions here. You just give me one-word answers. Fair enough?
Done.
Okay, first game on Monday night is Cincinnati at Baltimore. Who's second on the Bengals in receptions in 2012?
Let me think. Oh, I'm already ruining it. I'll go.
All right, I'll answer it for
Gresham,
you.
Gresham,
there you go. All right. Baltimore Ravens, if you're so inclined to have a handcuff, who's your handcuff for Ray Rice?
You know, this is so hard.
I'm putting you on the spot. Tell you what, I'd take Pierce. But I'll give you another one, one-word answer. Which tight end, because Baltimore looks in that no huddle, they might put up some yards. Which tight end would you rather have this year, Ed Dixon or Dennis Pitta?
I'll take Pitta, upside.
San Diego at Oakland. Oh, San Diego's a mess. I don't even want to talk about them. But I'm actually really intrigued with the Oakland offense. In fact, I'm actually kind of, I almost want to go out and buy a Raiders cap. I want to see what DHP can do. I want to see what Denarius Moore can do. I think Palmer might be reinvigorated when McFadden's healthy. Might be dollar for dollar the second or third best running back in all of football. So those are just some quick hit thoughts on there. But let me ask you this. Who, other than Antonio Gates, would you want to start in a PPR league for the Chargers this week?
Probably Floyd. I'd take him over Meacham. Meacham just never looked consistent with the Saints.
Okay. And all season long, would you rather have DHB or Denarius Moore for the Oakland Raiders?
Probably DHB. I think he has a higher ceiling.
I would take Moore because I'm not a DeSean Jackson fan, but you are. But I think he's got a game similar to Mr. Jackson. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this week's edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. You can tweet us at Nick Capozzi or at JP Gilpin. We will be here every week giving you the rundown of the games, myself and JB. If you have a question, tweet us. You got a concern, tweet us. You want to buy me a beer, I prefer whiskey. You got anything else, JB?
Dollar for dollar, we're the best podcast around.
I tell you what, dollar for dollar, we're probably the biggest in terms of pure size.
You know, that's true. Other people might say they're a better podcast, but we'll just step on them. So.
All right, JB. Great job. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us. That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Baby, little muscle man.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
Make some regular good friends.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.